right. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. No,
I
gotcha.
Easy.
Careful.
Sorry, my penis almost fell out of my.
It's just.
It's just.
Again.
Why are you wearing a cup? I am playing Dungeons and Dragons. Pokemon Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Oh god.
Don't let your kids listen.
The Roaring Trainers, don't let your kids listen.
Yeah, that should honestly be our tagline.
It's true.
Adam, does this look too high, too low?
Are you talking about your dick now?
Does every
it's not that cold in here, Galen.
I was in the pool!
Doesn't she know about shrinkage?
Thanks, Costanza.
Today on the Roaring Trainers, Kanto in the Jazz Age. After a rocky road to Viridian City, our trainers have finally arrived on their first stop on their Pokemon journey. So much to see, so much to learn, so many mistakes to be made. Let's find out together here on the Roaring Trainers, Kanto in the Jazz Age.
Everyone, welcome to the Roaring Trainers, Kanto in the Jazz Age. I am your GM for this evening and all evenings after, Gatlin.
Hi, I'm Adam, and I'm the token fat guy.
But who's your character?
Well, I play Atticus.
Who is the token fat guy? Oh, he's not fat.
No, he's
big boned.
He's portly?
Tall.
No, he's not at all, actually.
No. Oh, he's just okay. Very...
big guy.
He's big guy.
He's tough. Okay. Strong.
Very tough.
Hi, I'm your Wesley, Aaron.
My Wesley. As you wish.
Everyone's Wesley.
There we go. And I'm Nick, also known as Sendoran.
Hey, I'd like to just take a second and let everyone know listening that we finally have our Die Hard dice.
Woo-hoo!
We got it in, and we're all very excited.
Absolutely.
You guys want to just take a second and describe the dice that you got?
Oh, I will, yeah. If I can find mine.
They're right. In your thing. You took it out and put it in your thing. Well, your D20 is right.
Well, Adam, you go first since you're the, so you're the one starting this thing.
Yeah, so I have we each got a metal D20 and then a set of polymer dice. My D20 is
amethyst.
With gold trim. It's beautiful. I love purple, and it's my favorite, and I love it. And then my polymer dice is it's bone colored, and it's got red. The letters
are
red.
I thought you were going to say that they were bone.
They're
it's made out of
made
bone.
Out of the bones of my enemies, and they're awesome, and I love them, and I've been rolling nothing but 20s. It's the weirdest thing.
I got a battle-worn steel metal D20, and it's clean and fresh and
just,
great.
Is it fresh with a pH?
Like
Wesley. Yeah. And my polymer set is purple as well. And it's got some little silver inlays in there. I like it.
Is that like the gradient, I think?
Yeah,
something
like
little,
that.
Little inlays in there?
you want a soda?
My D20 is a nice metal D20, and it's kind of like got this copperish, brassy look to it, almost as if it kind of came from an older generation, which I kind of really am digging on. It's actually a little smaller than my right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, it's much like our logo.
I was gonna say it's very similar to the top of the Pokeball that we use on our logo, and then the polymer set that I got is a nice sort of like foresty green set of dice with like some white, with some white
swirls.
Highlights and swirls and such. Super excited to have those.
Nick's D20 was actually found in the trenches, and that's what the people in World War One were rolling when they were fighting
when
the
they
commies.
Were
that
when
dice
they were
rolled a nat 20, and that's how we won.
Wow.
And Gatlin's a DM, and he doesn't matter because he's going to roll nat 20s against us.
Yeah, you guys don't know what I'm rolling.
Yeah, we don't.
my D20 is it's a The numbers are silver and it's red, and there's some more silver on it. It looks.
He's saving his descriptive powers for the podcast.
He is.
My
is.
Dice is a dice, and there are 20 numbers on them.
How many sides are on that?
The 20.
Duh, 20. That's what the D stands for, yeah. Is duh.
The wordsmith is just warming up, folks. Don't worry.
And my polymer dice, they are red and...
Blood Golem or something. Yeah, they're awesome.
Got the nice red theme over there.
You know, thing I like about Die Hard Dice, they have haunted. Good names for their dice. And that's all I want.
they are haunted, which people do pay extra for.
And we each got one of the rolling trays. The D20s that we got are metal, so it quietens them up.
Yeah,
and
that's
they're
gonna...
really cool. I got a purple one, you got a red one, you got a black one. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, can we all just like smash our D20s on our rolling trays?
Yeah,
this
ready?
Is what they sound like.
You hear that, people?
That is pretty
that's
loud.
A sound
I got an
greatness.
18.
I also got an 18.
Fucking holy awesome. I got, I'm not even joking, I got an 18 too.
What'd you get?
I didn't look, I didn't care.
Damn it.
Wow, in true West fashion.
Okay. Let's get to those Pokemon.
I actually don't have to play my character that hard.
We've noticed.
So, Galen, where did we leave off last time?
Thank you so much for asking, Nick.
You're welcome.
So you guys left off by kicking some cowboy ass on that train. You still got some cowboy on your boots, I guess. And
I stole his hat.
Yes, and Wesley stole a hat. So very well done.
I'm not keeping it. I just wanted to take it from him.
Just like I took the two Pokeballs of his, or of those two grunts.
We'll visit that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah, you thief.
Nice. Yeah. Your party has made it to Viridian, and you are all standing on the train platform. You can see Johanna and Natasha being interviewed by Viridian City police officers. These police officers are donning uniforms, actually Viridian in color, which is more of like a deep green, trimmed with gold on their sleeves and buttons. You can see that Tyler and Nina are also being interviewed by a set of police officers giving their statements. A sound of intense shuffling causes you all to turn your heads to see the three train robbers in handcuffs being led away by a squad of officers.
Sorry, that's my kid playing drums. I have nothing to do with it. Sorry.
He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. I ain't cutting this out. He's part of the podcast.
The three bandits are pushing and pulling against the officers to no avail. And you hear, "Hey, get your paws off of me. I'm just another victim of the system." "Oh, yeah, what he said. We're the victims here."
That's what they all say.
"If you don't let us go, there will be big problems for all of you. I promise you that."
So you see these three cowboys essentially being led off of the train platform, and they're really fighting these guys, but like they get pushed out of sight and you don't see them anymore.
The big one, I wave his hat at him. Goodbye.
He looks at you and he starts to like try to lurch toward you. He's like, "Oh, give me my hat. That's my mother's hat. Love it."
Wow. This is a big hat. She must be impressive.
He's getting deep there.
He starts to describe his mother, but then he's just pushed off the platform.
We'll never know.
Once you see this, a police officer then approaches you three with a notepad and paper already in her hand. Her hair is a jet black, and her skin is a very, very clear copper. Her eyes are a piercing reddish brown, but she's not making eye contact with you three, simply looking down at her notepad. And she says, "Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Lieutenant Aparna Jenny, and I understand that you three had a hand in apprehending the alleged train robbers. Let me just say, on behalf of the Viridian City Police Department, thank you for your assistance. Now, if I could just ask you to recant what happened on the train, and we can all go along with our day."
"Yeah, pretty much they came to rob it, and we stopped it, and I don't know, like an award? That'd be pretty nice."
"Okay, yeah. But I would like specifics about the train robbery, please."
"Well, so we were on the train and we were just having some fun in the battling car. And all of a sudden, these guys with these giant birds just came rushing past the train car."
"Giant birds? What birds?"
"I think they were Dodrios, I think. I think they were."
"Indeed."
"Okay. Right, Wes? Dodrios?" "Yep." "Yeah. See, he's the smart one."
"Dodrios." And she starts to write down. And she flags another officer over, and you hear her whisper to him, and she sends him away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were looking for some Dodrios. They fit the description.
And she actually says, how many Dodrios?
Three? Was that right, guys?
I think it was three. One each.
The three. They each had one.
Mm. I mean, that was like, I don't know, like 4 weeks ago, so I'm pretty sure it was three.
Okay, Dodrios. And she writes all of this down. Anything else that you can remember?
Well, so when they were robbing the train, we tried to stop them as best we could.
I mean, you did a pretty good job at it. We do have them now.
Well, yeah, we did a really good job.
Well, success.
Success. Go on, young man.
Well, I think that was mainly it, I guess. We tried our best to make sure that none of the passengers were harmed. Were there any injuries that you guys saw?
No. The passengers were able to get to the other car and stay pretty safe. They almost got away with some belongings, but nothing that hasn't been returned.
Oh, thank goodness.
I do. I just remembered a pretty important part of this.
Go on.
And you guys can, if you want to help fill in the blank. But so we apprehended two of the three, the smaller ones. We got them down pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It was pretty impressive.
Filbert and Rocco.
Sure. And then we went up to stop the big guy, but he hit
big
the
Hef.
Brakes. Yeah, Big Hef. Sure. Sounds about right. And then we stopped the brakes, and then I did like just a fucking awesome flip. I didn't fall at all. In fact, like a hand flip into a somersault.
It was
landed
impressive.
On my feet.
And you see that she's writing all of this down, but then as soon as you start talking about your flip, her pen slows down and it drops to her side.
You can ask any of the passengers. They clapped.
It's true. Yeah. It really happened. I couldn't believe it myself.
Yeah. Do you want me to finish writing that down for you?
Do you want him to do it again?
I
Atticus, do a flip.
Okay.
Do a barrel roll.
What is it going to be? I heard if dice don't let me down.
If we're really doing a flip.
That is a two.
Okay.
So, can I flavor this?
Go for it.
I'm like, yeah, I'll do a flip. I just jump and I just fall on my ass. Like, I don't even put any effort into spinning my body at all.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Her eyes are just like, she looks so tired right now. And she says, besides the flip, was there anything else that you can remember about these three? Did they have anything? Were there any other Pokemon that they had? I don't
know about Pokemon, but they had guns on them.
Mm-hmm. Guns.
Yeah.
Yep, they're back in the train car.
They're back in the train car. All right. And she flags another officer over, and she whispers to him, and he actually, like, goes to the train car to, like, go look for these guns.
I'm surprised that they didn't find them before.
Oh, well, no one said that they were good.
They're just Viridian police, you know. Yeah. Not the
community service, actually.
Yeah.
So it was just the Dodrio that they had?
Yeah, I mean, even when the big guy, what was his name again?
Big Hef.
Even when Big Hef was using Pokemon, he sent out his Dodrio. So, I mean, that was the only Pokemon that we saw.
And the other two?
Well, and I pull out from my backpack, I found these in their pockets. Now, one of them, obviously, is, you know, just a normal Pokeball, but the other one, I don't know, it's got this black top on it, and I don't know what's inside it.
She takes the Pokeball and inspects it, and she says, oh, this is just a moon ball.
A moon ball?
Oh, just a moon ball.
Just a moon ball.
You know, from the moon? Just a fucking moon ball.
She turns her eyes to you again, and she just looks so tired.
Officer, what's
tired of our bullshit.
Officer, what's a moon ball, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, this ball is native to the Johto region, where they still use apricots to craft their Pokeballs. And this particular ball is best used when trying to catch dark-type Pokemon or Pokemon that reside in caves.
Ooh. So you're saying that there's probably a really strong dark Pokemon in that?
I don't think necessarily strong, but dark-type...
Open it up. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's see.
I would advise against that.
And she looks
wait, hold up.
So
am I still
tired.
Holding it?
You are still holding it.
Oh, awesome. I thought she took him, but
she says,
That she wouldn't.
She said she'd advise against it. She didn't say don't do it.
She reiterates. She says, I advise against opening the Pokeball, and I believe I'm going to have to take those from you as evidence.
And okay. then you're going to open them up so we can see what's inside, right?
No. There could be a Tyranitar in there. And
then I want to see it.
I don't think the train station would like to see that. And, sir, the young man, the Pokeballs, please.
Okay. And I, like, begrudgingly hand them to her.
All right. And she takes the Pokeballs and she makes them their carrying size. And she puts them in her jacket pockets.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's about it. Is this about an award? Money?
I didn't say anything about a reward.
Oh, I thought you did.
That was you.
Oh. I thought you agreed with me.
That was a good idea you had.
Yeah.
It was decent. These three criminals, Filbert, Rocco, and Big Hef, up until recently were very common criminals around Viridian City, so it is very surprising to me that they took on a whole train just themselves. So it's very, very odd for these three. But again, I thank you so much for capturing these criminals. I thank you. The city thanks you. And she sighs.
One last question,
officer. Is there something going on? Do you need a hug?
I am a police officer.
So
one, do not touch me. Two, I am very tired because I am a police officer and my job is not easy.
Wesley takes a little notebook out of his pocket where he's got jobs I don't want written down on the top of it. And there's Pokemon Tracker with Lieutenant or Captain Surge written in an asterisk next to it. And now police officer writes that in there and puts it back into his pocket.
So the police officer sighs and she says, now, unfortunately, there is a reward.
Ooh.
Well, that conversation didn't need to happen.
I was trying to get this guy's hopes down because they needed to go down.
Wow.
Strange. Go on.
You haven't listened to episode zero, have you?
Yeah. You don't know us.
She says, the bounty on these three's heads totals around 2,000 pokey.
2,000 pokey?
Well, I
That
guess.
Is what I said. 2,000 pokey. So she calls over a third police officer and waves him over and says, all right, the reward money should go to these three and also those four. So split that up, math that however you want, but make sure that these six trainers get what they have coming to them. So I don't know if any of you are particularly good at math, but let's try to do that.
All right, we math it all out.
Okay.
So that comes out to 286 per person.
Okay, so you all get 286 pokey. So the police officer that she called over hands you each, like, a stack of pokey.
From an evidence bag?
Is that how that works?
I hope not.
So you all get paid. And the officer, Jenny, says, are there any more questions for me at all? Are you...
I have one last question, officer, and I don't mean to take up any more of your time.
You are, but go on.
Wow.
sorry, but why would a group of robbers have a Pokeball from the neighboring region?
Well, these are at times imported, exported. They aren't illegal. They are more of collector items and novelties.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but yes. Anything else?
No, then I think we're good then.
All right, and with that, she gives you all a nod and says, enjoy your time in Viridian City. And I think now is a good time as any to tell you all, you've leveled up.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. All right. So
that noise again.
So how we're going to do this? All of your characters are now level 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all of your Pokemon are level 2, except for Abby, who's since she's been here since the beginning, she is now level 3 as well.
She's a character too.
She is. She's with us.
Yes.
Abby's the real PC.
Yeah. Right.
So we've done you all the service of doing the roles off mic, and I think we're going to have the characters explain what they get at level 3. So, Atticus, if you would like to go first.
Yeah, so basically the big thing for Atticus is he got a lot more HP. Rolling dice constantly I just rolled a bunch of 3s, averages and stuff. I now have 30 maximum HP.
Nice.
He's basically a Pokemon.
He's a Pokemon. Abby's the trainer.
Yeah. We've switched. All right, so at level 3, Atticus gets a new skill called Expert. Basically, because of his background being a farmer, he knows a lot about Pokemon breeding.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's candles involved.
Get some.
Basically, I get advantage on all Poke handling checks that go towards identifying Pokemon eggs.
Awesome.
How's cool. Wes? How's Wes over there?
Wes did not get 30 HP.
Okay.
rolled a 2 and a 1, so I have 16. You know? As part of level 3, Wesley gets Pokeball repair. So as part of his technological background, he can make repairs on his own Pokeballs. You throw them, they get damaged. He can do those repairs himself, hopefully.
It
takes a check. But I was wondering if part of canonically he learns that maybe in this city.
I think we can get to there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then for Sen, being the ace trainer that he is, at level 3, he actually gets 2 different features. So he gets type advantage, which actually, this brings up a good question, because I don't even know the answer. Do I have to pick that type now, or is the type whatever type I decide later on?
I think that once you get more Pokemon, you can think about it. But I will say you don't have the skill until you pick it.
Okay, that certainly makes sense. And then the other thing that I get is I get battle maneuvers, which are handy-dandy things that hopefully I can showcase in this episode.
Well, that you used.
No. These are a little different.
Oh, okay.
These
go
are
for
a little
it.
Different right. from the look of from awesome. The look of what I'm reading here. Like I get maneuver dice, which seem to be expendable things that I can add to various things, as well as saving throw, which some of my maneuvers require my target to make a saving throw to resist, and the saving throw DC is calculated below. So I believe that means my opponents have a harder time making saving throws.
There we go.
Seeming that. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then Abby just got a bunch of more HP.
Yeah.
HOP.
You're
going to need them.
Peek-a-peek. Yeah.
That's a new Pokemon, HOP.
She needs all the HPs she can get.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, your friends break away from their interviews. It looks like Natasha and Johanna are coming your way first. Nina and Tyler look to still be conversating with their respective police officers. So the twins walk up to you guys, and they're looking better than they were before, but they're still very kind of shaken up about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, girls, were those cops kind of mean to you, too? Because the lady we were talking to, she was a little short
Officer
with
Tyranitard,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two girls look at each other very puzzled, and they turn back to you, and Natasha says, "No, ours were very nice to us." And they hold up 2 cups of hot cocoa.
Oh, do they have like 1 giant blanket draped across their shoulders?
Both of them?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, shit, it's us.
Are we assholes?
Oh, well.
I know we're assholes, but I mean, are we?
Oh, I guess she was just having a bad day or something.
Yeah. Thanks for your help. Holding down the fort and stuff. We're about to head into town. I don't know if you're heading that way too. We can wait for Nina and Tyler. If we can all go together.
Natasha starts to nod her head yes, and then Johanna looks at her, and then shakes her head and looks back at you. We actually have to get to our relative's place. They've been expecting us, and we're already pretty late. But we really enjoyed meeting you guys. And here, and she grabs Sen's arm, and she pulls it.
And brands him? Run, Sen!
And she actually takes out a pen from her pocket and writes down the address of the place that they're staying.
Ooh, Sen!
Hell yeah!
And they say, we're just staying with our aunt and uncle for a little bit. This is going to be where we will be. If you are all more than welcome to come over for dinner at some point.
Oh, we would absolutely love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. We really have to get going. And they both turn to their Pokemon and they say, Chico, Tito, say bye. And Chikorita starts to wave its leaf on the top of its head. And Totodile's looking at Wesley and chomping his teeth.
Intimidated, but bye, Totodile.
And you see them just walk away, and they get lost in a crowd of people, and you can't see them anymore.
All right.
Once you finish up your interaction with the girls, Nina and Tyler break away from their police officers, and they walk towards you guys. And you hear Nina say, hey, where are they going?
I just hold out my arm.
I got a number.
Oh, on the inside, I am so giddy right now that she hell that she grabbed
touched
my
you?
Arm. Yeah, that she like touched me. Like I'm like in my, it's, oh, it's, I can't even talk right now. That's what my character is feeling right now.
So you hold out your arm.
Yes.
And
here, and I point.
And Nina like squints, and she's like, okay, but where is that?
There's that map we need again.
You know, it's a insert town here. What's the address say? I don't know. We never asked.
I was going to, yeah, what?
It says six.
What does the address say?
It says 1624 Doug Trio Way.
In Viridian or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the bad side.
They've got a real problem with Pokemon vermin in the backyard. It's a real Caddyshack situation going on back there.
So you hold out your arm, and she says, okay, but what? So they're there, but why? Where did they go?
Well, they said they were going to visit their, like, cousin or something.
Their aunt and uncle?
Yeah.
You're family. A very good listener.
I try my best.
Hey, are you guys doing okay? You guys good? We haven't really been able to talk since the battle got interrupted. Oh, wait, no, I mean I won the battle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, son, I won the battle.
Yeah, you did.
And Tyler, like, actually nods his head ferociously. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling great.
Wow.
That was awesome.
All right.
Wait, well, hold up. Wasn't he, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he, like, kind of reserved on the train and stuff?
He's feeling real good right now.
Now that there's no guns or anything.
That adrenaline is pumping, and he's just like, that was awesome. Ah, I love battling. That was so cool.
Did you get your fix? Like,
nope. I'm going to go take Beedrill and start beating people up right now.
Yeah, you did a really good job. That was great.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, me and Beedrill have been together since he was a little Weedle. So we like each other a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah,
the correct amount.
We're about to head into town. If you guys are going too, we can all go together.
And Nina speaks up and she says, "Well, actually, I'm gonna go and head over to the gym." And she opens up her jacket and you see two badges already. And she's like, "Yeah, two down, six to go. I'm gonna really go and check out that gym and see if I can do my best and really kick some butt."
Wow.
Yeah, I think Atticus looks at Sen. I'm like, Sen, that's like right up your alley. I didn't know there was a gym here.
Mm. Yep, the Viridian gym. It is the bug type gym.
Oh. Bug type, you say?
Yep, bug type. The Viridian forest is like right over there and it's chock full of them.
Oh, I say we go see some bug Pokemon. I want to see them.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
And then all of a sudden, Tyler's like, Jim, I gotta go. And before you guys can say anything, he runs.
Like he knows a guy named Jim that he's supposed to see.
Like, Jim. See you later.
And
well, that was weird. Bye, Tyler.
Hey, I'd check out the gym. I'd go catch. I would really like to get Abby and Pete into the Pokemon Center, make sure they're good first before we do anything.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Let's head to the Pokemon Center, get our Pokemon all patched up, make sure they're all fine,
And yeah. Nina says, mine are all good. I made sure that they were all healed. I'm going to head right to the gym. I'll see you guys there, I guess.
Well, good luck, Nina.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks.
All right, and she starts to, like, jog away. And
squish
she,
some bugs.
She waves by, and the Meowth comes out of her Pokeball and lands on her shoulder. And, like, they're gone.
Oh, impressive.
The Meowth can do a backflip.
Whatever. Abby does that all the time.
Okay, so, all right, so I
we
think
go to the Pokemon
yes,
Center.
Yes, we all go to the Pokemon absolutely. Center together.
Okay, so you guys are walking through Viridian City, and the weather, it's a little bit cloudy.
How large is this city compared to other cities?
So I would say that Viridian City is known in the region as one of the big college towns.
Okay.
So at being a college town, it has restaurants. It's not as big of a metropolis as Saffron City was, but I would think the general population would be around 10,000.
All right,
10,000 people.
Pretty sizable.
Yeah. So there are
in the 20s.
Yeah. there are shops. There are there's a Pokemart. There's of course the gym, the Pokemon Center, and you guys have your pick. And you said you wanted to go to
the Pokemon Center.
Pokemon Center. All right, so you guys walk up to the Pokemon Center, and you can see that the layout is around the same. The Saffron City Pokemon Center was, like, very pristine, and, like, just a good adjective for it would be shiny. This Pokemon Center is a little bit more rustic. It's not quite marble white. It is more just like a regular building. It still has that domed red roof in the shape of a Pokeball on top of it. So you all walk in and you see that the layout of the inside is almost identical to the one in Saffron, just scaled down a bit. There are people sitting at couches. There is a little line for the transport center, and you can see the nurse is at the counter servicing some Pokemon trainers right now.
Let's get in line.
Yeah.
Queuing.
Do we take a number?
No.
This isn't a deli.
That's the back room is a deli.
So you guys step into line, and you see the nurse is at the counter, and she has a Spearow on her arm. And she says, all right, well, here's Spearow back, but just be careful. There are Pikachu in that forest, and, you know, electric types and flying types don't really mix too well. And she hands the Spearow back to this young kid. He's probably around 16, and he says, I'm sorry. I should have been more careful. This isn't even, it's my mom's Spearow, and I took it out, and yeah, I should go. And he turns around, and he walks.
Mom, can I borrow the Spearow for the weekend?
And it is now your guys.
Wait, no, I want to learn more about that guy.
Why did you take
I'm just
the
kidding. I'm just
he's,
kidding.
He's gone. He's gone. Okay. He's gone. You guys step up to the counter of the Pokemon Center, and the nurse says, welcome to the Pokemon Center. How can I help you, gentlemen?
Oh, I would just want to get our Pokemon looked at. We've had some battles. We want to get them fixed up and healed up and ready to go.
Absolutely. Can I have all of your Pokemon in their Pokeballs, please?
I hand her my two Pokeballs.
I do as well.
I don't have any for Abby.
You don't have a Pokeball for your Pokemon?
Not Abby. I do take out the Pokeball for Pete. I do ask him to go in, and he does. Here's Pikachu, Pete. But I don't have one for Abby.
All right. Well, I think that could be remedied real quick. Abby, you wanna just come back with me real quick?
Yeah, I think she looks at me and like a little bit of like hesitance, and I'm like, yeah, just go get fucking healed. I like how that's how he talks to her. Just fucking go. He loves it. Yeah, and she pops up and goes back.
Yeah, sure. So she takes all of your Pokeballs on a tray and, like...
And then Abby's on the tray. Just sitting there, her feet just dangling off.
There's not enough room. He brushes one of the Pokeballs onto the floor. This is where my tail goes.
Magikarp just falls to the floor.
I actually really like this imagery. Like, she takes the Pokeballs and she puts them on the tray, and Abby just, like, walks on the counter and plops down.
Yeah. And then you're just kind of like, oh, okay.
And the nurse kind of chuckles, and she picks up the tray with the Pokeballs and Abby on it. She says, all right, well, these little fellas will be ready for you guys in about 20 minutes. So feel free to hang around the Pokemon Center if you'd like, but we'll be done in about 20.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. So what do you guys want to do while your Pokemon are healing?
I think Wesley was interested in the university that they had mentioned before. He's going to go check out that, if that's all right.
Absolutely. And actually, the Pokemon Center is right next to the Viridian City campus. As all these college kids being studying Pokemon, they need better access to the Pokemon Center.
So Wesley goes over to the wall, looks at the map. Where's this university? And then he looks out the window, and it's
big,
there.
Big sign. University.
Viridian University. Yes, absolutely.
Found it.
I think that Sindorin he wants to kind of just stock up on supplies. So he just wants to go to the Pokemart and pick up some Pokeballs.
Okay, cool.
I think Atticus is going to wait for Abby.
Awesome. Okay, so who are we doing first?
I'll go first. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So, Wes, you walk out of the Pokemon Center and directly onto the Viridian City University campus.
Here I am.
The cloudy weather has since turned into a slight drizzle, and it's a little bit chilly outside now. As you're walking through the campus, which is just very green. Now, I know that a lot of the city has been described as green, but this campus has tons of foliage. It has lots of trees and hedges and bushes. You can see some students actually sparring in the campus ground with some small Pokemon. No Charizards or anything like destroying this place. But like you see an Eevee going toe-to-toe with a Rattata and a couple Nidoran male, Nidoran females also sparring in the middle of the campus.
Funny how those always get paired up.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, exactly. So as you're walking through campus, you stumble across a tall, lanky gentleman in a long black turtleneck and horn-rimmed glasses unenthusiastically handing out flyers.
I'm going to go take one of those flyers.
Says, yeah, here, take it.
Thanks.
Wow.
And that's the end of this segment. Boy.
You're quite the salesman.
What a character development. Says, thanks, I'm doing this for extra credit.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So you take this flyer, and on the very top, it says, Professor Luigi, Pokeball Expert. And as you read down further, it explains that there is a free lecture in Lecture Hall H being held on the origins of Pokeballs and their construction.
I'm going.
Okay, absolutely. So you're walking around campus, and there are just people like going to class, like talking and stuff. So then you find a little gaggle of people who you overheard talking about the lecture series, and you follow them.
Follow that gaggle.
Yes, exactly. And you follow them directly into Lecture Hall H, and it just so happens that...
The building is a giant H.
And you see that the front row of this lecture hall is completely empty. You know, college kids, they really don't like to sit in the front row.
So I get like three seats. I'm going to lay across them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to sit in the seat.
Awesome. So you sit dead center, and there's a bunch of chatter going around in the lecture hall. And all of a sudden, you see this like very short man with a big black mustache. And like you can see that the sides of his hair is like it's graying, but like suspiciously the top of his hair is just a completely different color. He's wearing a rug.
Oh boy.
He's wearing a toupee. So he
hide all that knowledge under there.
Yes, exactly. He walks in, he slams the door behind him, he says, "Ah, welcome, welcome everybody. Sorry I'm late. My name is Professor Luigi, and I am here to lecture you all on the origins of Pokeballs and their construction. So let's get started then." And then over the next hour and a half, he talks to you about how the original Pokeballs were constructed in the Johto region. They had, like, ritualistic purposes, and then he goes through the whole...
Sacrifices were involved.
Yes, exactly. And he goes through the whole timeline, and then eventually he pulls out of his pocket a Pokeball, and he starts to take it apart, right in front of you. And since you are sitting in the very front row, you see everything.
So I think I've got my little notebook open and yeah. I'm taking notes, but I'm having a really hard time like transcribing his accent. So it's a lot of like, it's a Pokeball. Like, I wrote it down because that's the way I heard it. So.
Yeah. So I think you take relatively good notes for how much you can understand. And there's the origin story on how you have your Pokeball skill.
Skills get. Yep.
Yes. Skills begotten.
I don't think he had a real big goal for this city. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably like all he could think of that he wanted to do besides, okay. you know, get his Pokemon patched up.
Sounds good. So the lecture ends and everyone's just kind of like filing out 10 minutes early because, again, that's what college kids do. And Professor Luigi is packing up all of his stuff.
I'm going to go talk to Professor Luigi because I'm a big fucking nerd.
Absolutely. So he says, hello there. Did you enjoy the lecture?
Very much so. I extend my hand to him for a handshake.
And he grabs your hand with both of his hands and just like ferociously shakes it up and down.
Whoa, that's quite a grip you've got there.
Thanks.
Wesley Hale. I'm a recent graduate of Celadon University.
Ah, Wesley Hale from Celadon University. Nice to meet you, Wesley Hale from Celadon University.
Are you going to say it one more time to get that in the old noggin, or what are you doing here?
Celadon University, Wesley Hale.
Yep, this is the bit we're doing. Okay, pleased to meet you as well.
All right, and I think you guys small talk a little bit about the lecture. Like, I imagine you wanted some clarification on some things, and so you chat him up a little bit, and he says, thank you so much for coming to my lecture. Be sure to stop by again. I don't know if I'll be here, but it is a lovely university.
Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe.
Professor Luigi did.
Okay. I think with that, your little mini arc is over, and you learned a couple things about Pokeballs and about bad Italian accents.
Yeah. I learned nothing.
Hey, Aaron here, welcoming you back to another episode of The Roaring Trainers. I hope you enjoyed the show so far, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us on our journey. I'm also thrilled to tell you about a new set design from Die Hard Dice. This set is called the Mythica Collection, and I gotta tell you, it's gorgeous. I'm looking at the Platinum Aquamarine set right now. It's got a blue gemstone inlay and a platinum finish. You're gonna wanna get online, get to their website, take a look at this set. I think you're gonna like it as much as I do. While you're there, take a look around. Browse through their fantastic selection of metal dice and their massive collection of polymer dice. With so many colors and different styles to choose from, you're sure to find something that catches your eye. And as always, use the promo code ROARINGTRAINERS to get 15% off your order at checkout. Remember, roll with the best at Die Hard Dice. Trainers, I can't tell you how honored we are that you continue to listen and support the show. If you'd like to interact with us, like and subscribe at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or tweet at the show using the Roaring Trainers hashtag for the chance to have an NPC named after you. Stop by our Discord to hang out and ask questions, or just to banter back and forth with us. Hey, if you like what you hear, consider going to the iTunes store and giving us a 5-star review. It's a great way to support the show. It lets us know we're doing a good job, and it helps us get our name out there. If you'd like to support the show further, consider our brand new Patreon. We've got a great lineup of Roaring Trainers goodies waiting for you. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Thank you so much for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, so on our next little solo adventure, who are we going with next?
I think I'll go next.
All right, perfect. So Atticus, what are you doing in the meantime?
I think he's just chilling on a couch, just like arms spread, man spreading super hard, mm-hmm. and then just like waiting, like tapping on the side of the couch. You're like, boop-a-doo. Oh, okay.
I think after a little bit, I think you might doze off.
Okay.
It's because it's been...
And what do I dream, Gatlin? What are my dreams?
It's just, you have a lot of, like, kinky jinx dreams.
Oh, oh, no.
See what happens when you ask.
Yeah. All right, well that's canon.
No. So I think you doze off, and about 20 minutes later, you wake up to Abby teleporting into your lap, and she's, like...
Ready, probably, like, super energized, ready to go?
Yep, okay. She's, like, pushing you back and forth, like, trying to wake you up.
Yeah. Oh, Oh, God. Oh, Abby. Oh, hey. How are you doing? Feeling good?
And you feel the emotion of yes.
Positivity, maybe?
Positivity, okay. Yes.
Feeling kind of yes today.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Well, let's go get Pete. Let's, the other guys took off, so let's go find a drink.
Okay. So you walk up to the counter, and the nurse hands you the Pokeball with the lightning bolt mm-hmm. on the top of it. And she says, all right, well, they're all ready to go, and you have yourself a good day.
All right, thanks. Well, I didn't catch your name. What's your name?
My name is Nurse Patricia.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Patty. I appreciate that. You mind if I call you Patty?
I do.
You do? Okay. How would I just leave?
Yeah.
Okay. So I turn to walk out, and I pop Pete out of the Pokeball and
okay.
shove the Pokeball in my pocket. And I'm like, all right, let's get out of here.
All right, so you have an Abby on one shoulder and a Pete on another.
Yep.
And you're just strolling down the street whistling a tune.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Atticus is like, oh, God, it's like a desert out here. I'm so thirsty. I need to get a drink.
So you're walking down the street, and being a college town,
yeah.
you don't get too far. And then you see this establishment and a big sign up above it that says.
Oh, it says the trusty snail.
I
walk in.
All right.
I feel like I've been here before.
Where everyone knows your name, Trusty
Snail. So you walk in, and unlike
it's a bit slimy in here.
So you walk in, and unlike the Rusty Nail, like again, this is a college town,
yeah.
and you've caught like this little rush in between classes, like. Students are here, like, on their lunch break, getting hammered.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I love this place. I may not leave.
And you see this beautiful bartender at the bar, and she's wearing a black T-shirt and, like, a blue skirt. And she's got this, like, brown pixie cut, and, like, she's looking real good. And she turns her head to see you, and she says, hey, yo, welcome to the Trusty Snail. What can I get you?
No, she does not.
Yes, she does.
Absolutely, she does.
All right, all right.
She was a very colicky baby, and this is her voice now.
Atticus walks up and is like, oh, let me get a beer. Make it two and a shot of whiskey.
All right, hon. So you want the Viridian special then?
Yes, apparently.
All right.
Fucking A. I am, yes. Yes, yes.
And here, let me do this for you. And she brings out two beers, and she pours two shots of whiskey, and she drops them into the beer, and she says, all right, bottoms up, toots.
Fucking A. Atticus, I'm into it. He's like, claps, and he just takes the first one and downs it.
And after the first one, like, people see that you two are being kind of, like, riley and,
yeah.
like, incorrigible, and these college kids are, like, looking at you, and then, like, they applaud you, like,
yeah.
finishing the first
oh,
beer.
Yeah.
And as you lift up the second one, they're like, chug, 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 chug. And all of a sudden, there's this, like, circle of people around you.
Yeah, I'm just like, boy, this adventure took a turn. All right. Yeah, I chug the second. I'm like, yes, line them up. Let's do it.
And the whole bar, like, bursts into applause.
Yeah.
And, like, now people are buying you more and more
oh,
drinks.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to say you're about 7 beers in now.
All right.
Okay.
Over the course of how long?
Over the course of about 20 minutes.
Oh, fucking A. All right. Do I need to roll? For a constitution on that?
Well,
or am I an alcoholic? Well,
I think you're pretty conditioned
okay,
at this
yeah.
point. So you get to talking to some of the college students that are around,
yeah.
and they're like, "Hey, do you go to school here? Like, what's
oh,
your issue?
Just,
what's your damage?"
I have lots of issues. That's why I'm here.
and they all like raise.
I do another shot. Yeah, I'm rolling through town, just passing through with some buddies. I thought I'd get a drink. I'm glad I did.
Hey! Yeah, you're having a good time, and then all of a sudden you feel like a tap on your shoulder.
Okay, I turn around. I look.
You turn around, and there's this squat older man. He's wearing this like dirty brown coat and ripped up black slacks. and he holds this egg in front of your face. Says, hey, you want a... I got some deal for you. Got a Squirtle egg here, and it's got your name on it. You got, see, you got a couple Pokemon already. You got a Psychic type, and you got an Electric type. Let's balance out this team with a nice little Squirtle. And you see that the egg is blue, and it has, like, white specks on it. But then on the very tip of the egg, you can see two very prominent red circles.
I'm like, that looks like a pretty cool egg.
Yeah, it's the coolest. Squirtles are pretty cool.
This is Squirtle?
Yep, that's a Squirtle.
Can I see it?
And he hesitates. Then he sees that you're swaying a little bit. And he holds out the egg. He says, you can look, but you can touch after you buy it.
You should lick it.
Always.
I'm not gonna buy it if I can't look at it.
He says, you're looking at it right now.
But hold on a second, and I finish my beer. And the crowd goes, hey!
And it's just like at this
point. This guy is my guy! Don't know who this is, but I love him!
And I think at this point, like, that was about your eighth.
Yeah.
And the yays have gotten a little bit less. There's like, and everyone's looking at each other kind of concerned, like, hey? So he's holding this egg up in front of your face. And he says, it's Squirtle egg. How about, I'll give you a deal. 2,000 Pokey. Can't get a better deal for a Squirtle.
Yeah, I guess not. I want to touch it, so I'm going to do a sleight of hand to see if I can just grab it. Or would that be? I want to take it from him.
You want to take it from him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like, just like, let me see it, you know.
Sure.
Quickly.
Yeah.
What would that, I don't know if that's sleight of hand.
You can go sleight of hand, that's fine.
Okay. Fucking A, diehard dice. That's an 18 plus 0. 18.
Okay. So I think that in talking with them, like, you start to, like, just like, hey, buddy, like, just let me grab the egg. He's like, oh, well, I don't think so. And then, like, you... get your hands on the egg, and because he doesn't want it to break,
yeah,
he like lifts his hands off and you pull it a little bit closer.
Yeah, so I'm gonna look at it. I'm not sure this is a Squirtle egg. The red on top is making me question it. So yeah. I think I'm going to use my new ability.
Okay.
My expert ability. And I'm gonna just roll to see if I can
go for it.
And that'd be Poke Handling.
No, actually, I know that I think I wrote down Poke Handling, but I think that would be more Poke Knowledge. You'd have advantage on Poke Knowledge checks.
Okay, that makes sense. I was wondering about that. Okay, all right. My first roll is a 14. The second one is a 16. 16 plus 2.
Awesome.
18.
So with an 18, you take a look at this egg, and you know it's not a Squirtle egg. In your time on the farm... You haven't spent a ton of time by the water. Most of the water type Pokemon you would deal with were a Magikarp. But once in a while you'd go fishing with your pop and you'd find a little nest of these eggs. And these are Tentacool eggs.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking at it and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm pretty sure this is not a Squirtle egg.
So what are you,
this is a fucking Tentacool egg. What are you doing, man?
And he says,
what are you doing, man?
He says, you don't know what you're talking about. This is genuine Squirtle egg, and
I
don't even want to hear
bullshitter.
And then all of a sudden the egg starts to shake in your hands.
Okay.
And it cracks. And now in your hands you have this slimy Tentacool.
Okay. And I'm like, whoa. Hey, little guy.
And
hey,
like,
little guy. You're a little guy.
It's waving its like tentacles around, like squirming.
Yeah.
And
I look at the guy. I'm like, wow, this is the most fucked up Squirtle I've ever seen.
And he gives you this really dirty look, and he like takes the tentacle from you and walks out of the bar.
Fuck you too, buddy.
And then the rest of the bar goes, hey.
And I do 3 more shots and pass out at the bar.
Okay, there you go. All right, and I think
that ends my mini arc just the way I wanted.
Last but not least, Sandorin, what are you up to?
I'm going to head to the Pokemart and grab some supplies.
Okay. So you walk into the Pokemart, and it's just like a general store.
Okay.
Okay. There are like aisles and sections. You look up like toward the ceiling and you can see like the aisles are numbered and they have like what's in the aisles. Okay. So you see like Poke Snacks, you see fishing equipment, you see clothes, you see just like all these different categories. And it's a relatively, I don't want to say a small shop. It's very modest for what it is.
Okay.
And in the corner of the store, you see a sign that says Pokemon Catching Supplies.
Okay. I think I'm going to meander around the store kind of like, you know, kind of, you know, how people do. Even if they don't need anything in the spice aisle, they still go down it because they never know. So
do you have a shopping cart?
I grab one of the little baskets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm just, I'm walking down the aisles, just, you know, looking, even though I know that that back corner with the Pokemon Catcher supplies is where I'm going to end up.
Okay. Cool. So after a little bit of wandering, you end up in the back corner by the Pokemon Catching Supplies, and there's a person at a counter standing behind what looks like a bunch of cased up merchandise, and you see Pokeballs in this case, and you see a little sign that says 200. You see some Great Balls in there. You see potions. You see other like Pokemon medicines. And this person sees you walk up, and she says, "Well, hey there. What can I get you?"
Oh my God, it's Alice!
Damn it!
He's only got five voices. Leave him alone.
Thanks, Dad. I say, "Hi. I'm looking to get some supplies for catching some Pokemon."
Oh, that's what we got here. We got some Pokemon Catching Supplies, and she raises her hand to the sign, and it says Pokemon Catching Supplies.
Naturally. So could I get, and like I'm just thinking, kind of scratching my chin with
your
no facial hair.
Chin hairs.
Yep, chin hairs. Okay, could I get five Pokeballs?
Five Pokeballs, and she reaches underneath the glass counter and grabs five Pokeballs.
And could I also get, go ahead and give me five potions along with that.
All right, five potions, five Pokeballs, and five potions. All right, that'll be 1,250 Poke.
All right, and I pull out the amount of Poke, and I put it down on the counter.
All right. And she says, "All right, well, you could have just handed that to me."
Really? She's giving me lip?
She takes the money, puts it in the cash.
Alice tried to give Atticus lip, too.
Well,
hey-oh. So she takes the money, and she hands you the product in this nice little bag. She says, "Well, if there's nothing else I can grab for you, well, you have yourself a great day there."
You too. And I take my supplies, and I put them in my backpack.
Okay. So I'm going to say, like, just all your meandering around the store and, like, the checking out and your banter. That was probably around, like, 20 minutes.
See, people? Nice and short.
Yes, he was holding up two of the same potion, like, this one or this one.
I'm bowling cantaloupes down the aisle. See how that one's veering right? That one's not ready yet.
So as you get to the Pokemon Center, you see that Atticus, Pete, and Abby have turned out of the Pokemon Center and are walking down the street away from you.
Hey, Atticus!
No, get my drink. Go away, son. My song for today.
And he doesn't hear you.
Well, I did buy these supplies to go and catch a Pokemon, but I need to get my Pokemon first, so I head back to inside the Pokemon Center.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the nurse sees you, and she waves you over.
I walk over to the nurse.
She says, "Welcome back. Your Pokemon missed you. Here they are." And she has your two Pokeballs on a tray, and she hands them to you.
I take them both and put them in my pocket.
All right. So you have your Pokemon.
Thank you very much for healing up my Magikarp. He was in pretty rough shape.
Yeah, he was.
It's like you don't love him.
You are very welcome, though. Please be safe and have a nice day.
You too. And I walk out of the Pokemon Center. Well, now that I've got my Pokemon back, I think I'm going to go try and catch me some Pokemon. So I want to head over to the forest.
Okay. So you're taking a look around and you just see a bunch of like people, and you come across like a sign. It has like the arrows and it says University, Pokemon Center, Pokemart, and the arrow that says forest points north out of town.
Okay. I head north.
Okay, so you are...
Good job.
I'm all... You've solved my direction puzzle.
So I've been working on that all week.
So you're walking down the road, and you see this building. It's like a log cabin type building.
Okay.
And it says Viridian Forest Entrance. And then in smaller print on the door, it says Trainer Check-In.
Hmm. All right. I assume there is someone near the door.
I mean, it's a building.
All right, so I walk into the building.
Take the handle.
How many fingers do you grab the handle of the door with? Tell me.
Oh, that's a dexterity roll.
So you walk into this building, and you see two people you don't recognize and one that you do recognize. And you actually see Tyler talking to these two people dressed in this brownish, like, ranger uniform. Okay. And one's a guy, one's a girl, and he's just, like, chatting them up like he knows them. And, because he does. And Tyler sees you walk in, and he says, "Hey, Send, come over here."
"Oh, hey, Tyler, what are you doing here?"
"Well, this is what I ran off to do. Here, let me introduce you to these guys." Tyler brings you over to these two rangers. "This is Ranger Rick, and this is Ranger Rachel, and they run the trainer check-in for the Viridian Forest, and they're also two of the forest rangers."
"Well, just the people I need to see. I need to check in before I head into this forest."
And Rick grabs your hand. He says, "Well, how the hell are you? My name is Rick."
And he brands it.
"And I'm a here ranger here at the Viridian City Forest. It is sure nice to meet you." And the woman ranger just kind of like pokes out from behind Ranger Rick and says, "Hello, my name is Rachel. Nice to see you." And he says, "So you're here to catch some Pokemon?"
"Yeah, I'm hoping to anyway."
"Alrighty. Well, can I get your name and what Pokemon you have with you?"
"Okay, my name is Sindorin Housley, and I have two Pokemon with me. I have a Magikarp and I have Charlie here."
"Okay. Is Charlie out of the Pokeball?"
"No." And by Charlie, I mean my Charmander."
"Oh, okay. Because you said this is Charlie, and I don't see a Charmander anywhere in here. So
well,
good
maybe.
Information. And he takes down your name, and he writes down your Pokemon, and he says, "All right, well, I think you're all set to go. Tyler, didn't you say you were also going in?" And Tyler says, "Yep, I'm heading in. I got to run some errands for my brother." And Rick says, "Well, all right. Well, we'll see you two later, and make sure that you come in before dark. You know, you got lots of spooky Pokemon in there." And Rachel just kind of like elbows him in the ribs and says, "There's nothing more than Pidgeys and maybe a few hundred Beedrill. Have fun."
And I kind of thanks.
And Tyler says, "Yep. Well, hey, thanks, fellas." And he grabs your arm and he brands it. No, he grabs your arm, and you walk through the back door, and you two are now in the Viridian Forest.
You just went from Gatlin to Demon in 2 seconds. So he grabs your arm, and he brands it. All right, so we're in the forest. Cool.
Yeah, so you look around, and it's a forest. There are these huge, tall trees, and you notice when you step in, as the further that you walk into the forest, the darker it gets. The tree coverage is just so thick. And especially since it's such cloudy weather, that not a whole lot of light is getting into this forest.
Okay. Not exactly like that, but all right. I turn to Tyler and I say, "So Tyler, what sort of errands do you have to run in a forest?"
"Well, my brother wanted me to go check on some Beedrill nests, and I kind of told him that I would, and I'm already kind of late, so I figured I would come and do that for him."
"Okay.
My brother is, my brother's the gym leader."
"Your brother's the gym leader?"
"Yeah."
"You don't sound so happy about that, though."
So he says, "Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I'm kind of sick of being my brother's errand boy. Just being the gym leader and being older than me, like, I just kind of feel like I get forgotten, so I'm not really happy to be here, but, like, I do love the bug Pokemon, so There's that.
Oh, come on now. Your Beedrill is awesome. Like, you shouldn't feel inferior to your brother.
Yeah, I mean, the Beedrill's the only thing that I can really hold over my brother. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, it's not exactly the right color.
Well, that's true. It's not the normal Beedrill. Why is that?
It's what's called a shiny Pokemon. It's very rare. They don't occur very often in the wild. People breed Pokemon like crazy in order to get these, but I just so happened to stumble across a Beedrill. And a few years ago, I stumbled across an off-colored Weedle, and the Weedle turned into this really awesome green Beedrill, and yeah. So, you know, I do like being in the forest because it's where I met Beedrill, but also I'd rather not be running errands.
Well, let's try and liven this up a little bit then. Let's try and find me a Pokemon because I need to get some more catching experience under my belt.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we'll do a couple rounds of just you trying to find some Pokemon.
Coolio. All right, where do I start?
Well, you can start any square as long as it is either F1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, or A1, B1, C1, D1, E1, or F1.
Okay, I gotcha.
Or any of the border squares, okay. Essentially.
Let me start. I'm going to start with D1.
D1. All right. Nothing there.
Okay.
Nothing there.
All right. Am I still limited to a 3-space
yep.
movement?
Yep. And we'll give you 5 turns. And by the end of 5 turns, there will have just been too much rustling in this particular area.
Okay.
And you'll have scared the Pokemon off.
Okay.
I think you should go to D2. That was the best Mighty Ducks movie.
Okay. I'm going to try. Let's go C3.
And there we go. We have our first Pokemon.
Sweet.
And you actually see quite a few.
Ooh.
Yeah. So go ahead and roll your dice for rarity.
All right. And that will be any modifiers or anything like that?
Nope.
Then just a 14.
14. And you actually come across 5 Pidgeys.
Cow,
so these Pidgeys were...
They're all wearing leather jackets, and they're snapping their wings. Tunnel snakes rule!
So you see these Pidgeys were just kind of like pecking at the ground, trying to get like nutrients, whatever, and you step into their little nest, and they all turn to you, and you guys got to roll some initiative.
Oh, boy. Me and the Pidgeys?
You and the Pidgeys
and Tyler.
And Tyler.
Okay, thank goodness. I rolled a 15.
All right, Tyler got a 19, and the Pidgeys all got 2s.
Oh, so these slow-ass birds.
Tyler is going to take out his Pokeball, throw it, and emerging from the Pokeball comes his shiny green Beedrill.
Excellent.
And Beedrill says, sorry, Beedrill says,
what the frock?
Buzz, buzz, motherfuckers.
Don't you ever forget.
I'm about to stab me some birds.
Then hold 3 hours to stab something.
To be or not to be.
That is the stab, 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 stab. Forget about it.
Okay. So, all
right, so what does Tyler say, okay. Gatlin?
All right, so Tyler is going to say, all right, well, this is a lot more than I was expecting. Beedrill, use your pin missile. Try to damage all of these Pidgeys. So this pin missile hits all of the Pidgeys, mm-hmm. and you notice that a couple of them drop out of the air and they start to like glide toward the ground. They're looking a little bit little hurt, but they're still looking ready to fight.
Okay. My turn then?
Yep.
All right. So I grab my Pokeball and I say, "Let's do this, Charlie." I throw it out.
All right. Charlie comes out and he does his little rawr.
Yeah. Question. Are any of the Pidgeys, are they all basically in a flock together, or
they're more,
or have they spread out a
they're
little
more
bit?
Scattered out now.
Okay, yep. More scattered out now. All right, Charlie, let's try and scratch the closest one to you. It's going to be a 21 to hit.
Absolutely. So Charlie, like, right out of the gate starts charging toward the closest Pidgey. The Pidgey starts to fly up into the air, and Charlie jumps up and bats it down to the ground.
Yeah, he did, with 8 damage.
All right. So that Pidgey is going to turn and start to fly away. Do you want to try to catch that
one? I'm letting that one get away.
Okay. So,
if he can't take that much damage, I don't want him.
So, all of these Pidgeys, seeing that Beedrill is plainly the bigger target, mm-hmm. they all start to flock toward Beedrill, and they are going to use their and they are going to use their scratch attack.
Watch out.
And that is a 3. So as the Pidgeys start to dive bomb Beedrill, Beedrill like zips and zags out of every single one of these attacks. And it is Beedrill's turn again. And Tyler is going to say, "All right, Beedrill, target that one." And he points to one in the air and says, "Use Poison Sting." And Beedrill uses Poison Sting mm-hmm. and hits one of the Pidgeys directly out of the air. The Pidgey dips down as close to the ground as possible and like shoots and flies out of the vicinity of Beedrill.
All right, so he got away too.
Yep.
All right.
2 down. You're up.
All right, Charlie, let's try it again. This time on that one. And I point. Okay. Again, and he knows that that means do another scratch.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
nat one.
Okay,
sponsored by Die Hard Dice.
No, that was the old. You didn't use the right.
Yeah,
dice.
Yeah, that was the wrong dice. So you wouldn't have got that one. <Die Hard Dice. laughs>
Had it been Die Hard Dice, that would have been a natural 20. Sponsored by Die Hard Dice. Thank you, DieHardDice.com.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna say that with this, Charlie starts to run toward another Pidgey, jumps into the air, and its momentum is a little bit wrong and swipes and actually does like a front flip in the air and crashes down to the ground. Oh. Take 2 damage.
I bet you it was really cute though.
Yeah. It probably was, but like, oh, that still sucks.
Okay, cool. And Charlie does a little like, like it's fine.
There's a trombone sound.
It actually turns into Waluigi.
Professor.
Professor Waluigi.
That's okay, buddy. It can happen to anyone.
And so these Pidgey are going to try to target this Beedrill again. And they all get not enough to hit Beedrill. So they all of them rush forward and start to try to scratch at this Beedrill. But Beedrill is literally just like flying circles around all of these guys. And it is Tyler's turn. And Tyler says, Sen, I think you should try to catch that one. And he points up into the air and he says, give it a shot.
Okay. So I'm going to make an attempt to catch this Pidgey. Mm-hmm. Remind me again. It's been a while.
So in order to catch Pokemon, there are 2 stages. There is the hitting the Pokemon with the Pokeball. Mm-hmm. And then the Pokemon has to make an escape check.
Well, that being said, I'm going to use one of my maneuver dice.
Okay.
Which allows me to add 1d8 to my roll.
Okay.
Good, because I'm going to need it. Any modifiers on these?
Nope. Just add the numbers.
Still only a 6.
Still only a 6. Mm-hmm. So you throw this Pokeball, and you aim a little bit too high, and you overshoot it.
Oh, boy.
All right. And
wait, can I make one more action?
Yeah.
Charlie, can you go get that for me?
And Charlie looks at you and just like sadly like waddles over to the Pokeball, picks it up with its mouth, and like brings it back to you.
Thanks, buddy. I'll try harder next time.
And these Pidgey are actually going to target Charlie now.
I figured it was only a matter of time.
So the 3 of these Pidgey dive down and...
Watch out, buddy.
They get a natural 1. So these Pidgey dive down and Charlie turns to like flinch away and its tail wags and smacks 2 out of the 3 of them.
Okay.
And they like they're caught on fire a little bit. They wave it out and they
crispy bird.
And they start to fly away.
I'll let those 2 get away.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, balls.
Let's hope he can pokeballs. Yeah. All right, and then Tyler says, "All right, well, that one's looking pretty down, Sen. You better try this when you can."
Yep, I agree. Here we go. And I'm going to try yet again, and I will use another one of my maneuver dice, putting me down to 2 maneuver dice. It's going to be a 16.
16, definitely. So you throw this Pokeball and it hits Pidgey dead center in the chest.
All right.
The Pokeball opens, Pidgey goes inside, and the ball comes down to the ground. So now Pidgey has to make a strength saving throw to escape this Pokeball.
All right.
And that is a natural 20. So it shakes.
Nat 20.
Brought to you by DieHardDice. Yeah.
And it shakes once. The Pokeball breaks. And Pidgey starts to fly away.
Oh, man. How hard can it be to throw a Pokeball? And I pick up a rock from the ground and I just chuck it at a tree.
Okay. So you throw this rock at this tree and all of a sudden you hear...
Oh, no.
Oh,
my and God. It's not just one. The forest is filled with this noise.
Tyler, what's that noise?
It's what I was looking for. And you see 20 Beedrill pop out of this tree, and they start to dive bomb you guys.
Tyler, we're out of here.
Run!
Yeah.
And he starts to run into the forest.
I follow, because at this point, I got nothing. All right? Come on, Charlie. We got to go with him.
All right. So you pick up Charlie, and you guys are running toward the forest. And all you hear is from behind you. And you look back, and you see these 20 Beedrill are chasing you all through the forest.
Tyler, how are we going to get out of this one?
You gotta trust me here.
Okay, I trust you.
Turn this corner, now.
And we make a hard direction to where he told me to.
You guys make a hard left.
Okay.
And you see Tyler jump off this huge cliff. And under, you see this lake.
I'm jumping with him.
All right, and remember, you have Charlie.
Oh! Right before I jump, I... don't even say anything. I put Charlie back in the Pokeball and jump.
Okay. You two jump off this cliff and you land into this lake. And that's where we're going to end it.
Oh, my God.
Boy, talk about a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. I've been Gatlin.
I'm Adam.
Aaron.
And I'm Nick.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on The Roaring Trainers, Kanto in the Jazz Age.
See you guys.
You turn around and you see a giant dehumidifier.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on the social medias, please follow us at Roaring Trainers on Twitter and at The Roaring Trainers on Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram.